Take your Bibles now and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We've been looking at some of the one another commands in Scripture, and these commands direct us in how we are to live as the body of Christ, how we're to interact. And today we've come to the command to submit to one another. This is probably the most controversial one another command that we find in Scripture. And so we need, as we work through this, we trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us to understand this well and understand what God calls us to do here. So Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 15. Verse 15, and we'll read through verse 21. Remember, this is God's holy, infallible word. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's where we'll end the reading of God's holy word. If you look throughout history, you see a common trend in human behavior. And the trend is that when we see something that we don't like or something that we consider to be wrong, we can react against it so strongly that we can swing over to the other opposite extreme. There are lots of examples of this. When we see people dancing inappropriately, we swing to the other extreme and say that all dancing is wrong. It's always wrong to dance. Or when we see people who are dressed scantily, we swing to the other extreme and say, you must always wear this and this and this. You have to have this much of your skin covered. Or when we see children abused by their parents, we swing to the other extreme and say that parents ought to never spank or lay their hands on their children. Well, today, this very thing is happening with the concept of authority and submission. When we see the abuse of authority, and there's lots of examples of abuse of authority, our tendency is to swing to the other extreme, and the other extreme being that all authority structures are wrong. No one should have authority over anyone. In the spring, just earlier this year, I led a book study at Geneva College, and the book that we read has become extremely popular among Christian circles. It's called The Shack. And the book has some good things, I'll give it, but it's mixed in with lots and lots of bad theology. And the book is a discussion between the main character Mac and God. And throughout their discussion, they touch on the topic of authority and submission. And the author saw the abuse of authority in government, in the church, in marriage, in parent-to-children relationships. And in this book, he concludes that all authority is wrong. That we shouldn't even have this concept of authority. Instead, everyone, including God, should submit to everyone else. Listen to what he writes in this book. God is speaking here to Mac, and he says, "We," meaning the Godhead, "have no concept of final authority. Hierarchy and authority destroy relationships." Later in the book, God the Son speaks and he says, "My relationship with the Father and the Spirit, we submit to each other. In fact, we also submit to you. Submission is the most natural expression of my character and nature. And although you call me King and Lord, I've never acted in that capacity with you." In reaction to the abuse of authority, this author has swung to the other extreme to say that the whole concept of authority is wrong. No one should ever have authority over another. Instead, everyone should submit to everyone else. And so in reaction to an abuse, we swing to the opposite extreme. Well, this unbalanced unbiblical extreme is definitely creeping into the church. And those who promote this perspective point to this verse that we read, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. No one should ever act as the authority. Everyone should always submit to everyone else. Does this verse support the elimination of all authority structures? Should parents submit to children? Should policemen submit to criminals? Should governing authorities submit to citizens? And the most important question, should God submit to you? Submit to one another. What does this command mean? That's what we want to look at this morning. What does God call us to do when He commands us to submit to one another? We have to begin exploring this command by understanding the core meaning of this Greek word. The Greek word is a compound word that really literally means to place yourself under. To place yourself under something. And I looked up this word in a Greek dictionary. And it says that this word means to submit or to obey or to submit to another's control, to do what someone in authority tells you to do. And the overwhelming use of this word implies a submission to one in authority over you. Every time this word is used in the New Testament, which is over 30 times in the New Testament, it refers to a person submitting to someone else in authority. Wayne Grudem, a solid theologian, Reformed theologian, wrote an article called The Myth of Mutual Submission. And in the article, he wrote that in the Greek-speaking world, the term always applies, this term that's translated to submit, always implies a relationship of submission to an authority. And so we can see this clearly by just taking a look at some of the ways that this word is used throughout the New Testament. In Luke 2, verse 5, it says that Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, submitted himself to his parents. Even though he was God himself, he, as the son of these parents, submitted himself to them. Later in the Gospels, Jesus gives his disciples authority to drive out demons and evil spirits. And when they had actually done it, they came back to Jesus and they said, even the demons submit to us in your name. The demons were forced to obey the command of the disciples. In Romans 13, in Titus 3, in 1 Peter 2, we're commanded to submit to the governing authorities, not the other way around. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Christ submits to his Father. In the Gospels, Jesus says that he only does what his Father commands him to. He submits to the authority of his Father. Never is it said the other way around. In James 4:7, we're commanded to submit ourselves to God. Never does it say that God submits himself to us. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It was given to him by his Father. And because all authority has been given to him, it says now in Ephesians 1 that the entire universe submits to him. It says in Ephesians 5 that the church submits to him. And it says in Philippians 2 that every knee will bow to him. A picture of this submission. Everything submits to Christ, not the other way around. Never does it say that Christ bows or submits to these things. In 1 Peter 5, those in the church are commanded to submit to the elders of the church, not the other way around. In Ephesians 5, wives are commanded to submit to husbands. Children are commanded to submit to parents. Slaves are commanded to submit to masters. Those in under authority are to submit to those in authority over them. These commands are never reversed. It's a one-way street. And I could go on and on pointing out how this word is used that implies a relationship of submission to authority. And it's abundantly clear that in these examples, this is a one-way street. None of these examples are reversed. Parents are never commanded to submit to their children. Never does it say that Christ submits himself to the church, or to you, or to me. Submission means that you place yourself under the authority of another. It's a one-way street between those in authority and those under authority. Now, without a doubt, the reason why there's so much controversy over this single word is because of the command for wives to submit to their husbands. It just leaves a bad taste in our mouths. It makes us feel uneasy. Sort of squirm under it. Want to get out from under it. We want to get rid of that bad taste. And so what we do is we try to alter the meaning of this word so that it softens its meaning. In another article entitled "A Defense of Mutual Submission Within Marriage," the author basically redefines this word "submit" to mean that husbands and wives should treat each other as heirs with Christ. The author basically says that to submit to one another really means to serve one another, to consider others better than yourself. That's all it means. And how can you argue against that? Of course, husbands should serve and think of their wives better than themselves. Many, many Christians have adopted this definition of this word to submit. And by doing this, yeah, sure, we avoid this uneasy feeling, that we get rid of that bad taste in our mouths when we read the verse. But we do great harm to the Word of God, and we undermine the structures that God has built into this world. If we're to understand what it means to submit, we have to first disentangle it from what it means to serve. As we've established, submit basically means to place yourself under the authority of another. It's a one-way road. The one in authority never submits to the one under his or her authority. The word serve is very different. The command to serve one another is found twice in the New Testament, and the word simply means to help someone or to work for their good. To help someone to work for their good. And by a simple examination of the word, we see that this term for serving one another is very reciprocal. Everyone's supposed to serve everyone else. Not only are we commanded to serve God, but God also serves us. There are many places in the Bible where God is our help. He's our helper. God helps us. He works for our good. He looks after us. He supports us. He encourages us. He comforts us. He serves us. It says in Matthew 20 that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus served us by dying on the cross, and we in turn serve him. So this command to serve one another is reciprocal. It goes both ways. We serve God. God serves us. We serve one another. So it doesn't matter your status, your authority, your position. You're called to serve those around you. Husbands are called to serve their wives and the other way around. Parents are to serve their children, to seek their good, as well as the other way around. Bosses and employees are to serve each other. But the command to serve one another is very different from this command to submit to one another. To submit doesn't simply mean to serve. The word implies a relationship of submission to authority. And unlike serving, submission is a one-way road. Those under authority submit to those in authority. So that's the meaning of the word submit. To submit yourself to those under authority. But you may ask, if that's the meaning of this word, if it's a one-way street, then why in the world would God say that we are to submit to one another? If you look at all the one another commands in Scripture, you'll see that all the rest of them are these reciprocal commands. Serve one another, encourage one another, love one another, wash one another's feet, care for one another, speak the truth to one another, be hospitable to one another, confess your sins to one another. All these commands can be reciprocal. Everyone does them to everyone else. So how can we conclude that this one command is different? Well, to answer this question, we have to study the word that we translate as one another. Does this word always mean everyone has to do this to everyone else? Or is there shade in the meaning? Well, this word is used lots of places in the Bible. And as we've seen, it does regularly mean everyone is to do this to everyone. Everyone is to speak the truth to everyone. Everyone is to be encouraging to everyone. But there are places in the Bible where it's used not to mean everyone does this to everyone, but some do this to others. Some do this to others. Wayne Grudem points out that this word that we translate as one another sometimes means that some should do this to others. For example, in Revelation 6, it says that something's going to happen that will cause men to kill one another. There's that word, one another. Men will kill one another. And it's clear that everyone isn't killing everyone. If someone kills me, it's impossible for me to kill them. There's not this reciprocal kind of killing going on. But rather, it's the one killing is killing the one being killed. It's this one-way road, right? Another example is in 1 Corinthians. Paul is telling the church how to celebrate the Lord's Supper appropriately, and he tells them to wait for one another before they begin the celebration. You see, what was happening were people were getting there early and beginning the celebration, and the people who were getting there late were sort of coming in the middle of the celebration and not they were coming at the end of it. And Paul is simply saying, those of you who arrive early, wait for those who arrive late. Wait for one another. It's not the late people who are waiting. It's not this reciprocal kind of waiting. Wait for one another. Clearly here it's saying some, those of you who are early, wait for the others. So this word, there are other examples, but I don't want to belabor the point. But we understand that this word doesn't always mean everyone does this to everyone. It can sometimes mean some do this to others. The command to submit to one another doesn't mean everyone submits to everyone, but it means those under authority submit to those in authority. Now, it might be nice to get rid of that uneasy feeling of reading wives submit to your husbands or even submit to those in authority over you. It's uneasy for us as citizens sometimes to read the word submit to those who are in authority over us, those governing authorities. And so we try to blur the meaning of this command, but we open the door to theology that we find in the shack, where we swing to the other extreme and say that all authority is wrong. The concept of authority is wrong. If we carry the idea of mutual submission to its logical conclusion, then all structures of authority will crumble. Because everyone will be their own authority in the end. If everyone is to submit to everyone, including God, then no one can rightly tell me what to do. Including God, no one can tell me what to do. Parents can't tell your children because you have to submit to them. Don't tell them what to do, submit to them. God can't tell us what to do because he's supposed to submit to us. The government, the police, they can't tell us what to do because they're supposed to just submit to every citizen that they meet. If we blur this meaning, the meaning of this word, this command, then it will erupt, our world will erupt into chaos. The logical conclusion of mutual submission is chaos. And you and I don't want to live in a world where there is no authority structure. I assure you, you don't want to live in a world where God submits to the will of man. The one another commands tell us how we are to live as the body of Christ. And this command is telling us that those under authority are to submit to those in authority. The command is to submit to the authority structures that God has established. Authority is not a wrong concept. Without a doubt, it's abused regularly. You can go to plenty of examples on earth where authority is badly abused. But that doesn't mean the structure is wrong. God has built these structures into creation to establish peace and order in our lives. There's submission and authority within the Godhead itself. The three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Spirit, are equal in power and glory. Not one is more powerful, not one is more glorious than the other. And yet, consistently throughout Scripture, the Father directs the Son what to do. And the Son does whatever the Father commands him to do. Jesus himself said, "I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has given, has commanded me what to say." Within the Trinity itself, there is this authority structure. There's no power struggle within the persons of the Godhead, but each plays its part in this relationship of perfect love. And the result is peace and unity. And God has built into this world structures of authority that reflect His nature. He's established them for our good and for His glory. The way that Ephesians 5:21 reads is that the command to submit to one another functions like a title. You can read verse 21 like a title, and then the following verses list some of the structures in which we are to submit. So it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives to husbands, children to parents, slaves to masters. These are the structures that are given to us. And throughout Scripture, you can find these, all these, you can find a number of different structures of where we are called to submit. So let's go through some of these structures. First, children are to submit to their parents. This is commanded all throughout the Bible. From one of the Ten Commandments, children, you are, as children of God, you are called to submit to your parents. God has placed your parents over you in authority over you. And you're called to submit to them. And when you rebel against their authority, it's not them that you're rebelling against, but you're rebelling against the authority of God. They have authority over you. And even when what they do doesn't make sense, even when you feel like they have wronged you or they've made a bad judgment, submit to them in love. Submit to them just as you would submit to Christ. Not that you can't bring things up and talk about things, but submit to them just as you would submit to Christ. Children, I want you to think of one way that you're struggling to submit to your parents. Where you've disobeyed them, you rebel against them. Even those of you in high school or in college or maybe even older, how have you dishonored your parents? Have you apologized to them? What do you need to do to change your life to honor those, your parents, who are in authority over you? Children, submit to your parents. Second, slaves are to submit to their masters. Ephesians 6 says this. The slavery there in the first century was not the same as the slavery that we had in our country here, like that awful, inhumane slavery that we had here. But in the first century, although there was abuse there, it was much more like employees submitting to bosses. And so we can apply this command to our jobs or to students. Apply this to your teachers. Honor them. Listen to them. Don't try to undermine them. And the passage here in Ephesians 6 says, serve them wholeheartedly as if you're serving the Lord. What this passage is saying is that as you work for your boss, as you work for your teacher, serve them as if you're serving the Lord. As if they are the Lord. Serve them. Submit to them. Be a willing worker, a willing student. Serve masters slaves, serve your masters. Students, serve your teachers. Employees, serve your employers. Third, we are to submit to governing authorities. It says in Romans 13 that God is the one who has placed those in authority over us. So our city council, our police force, our judges, our governors, senators, representatives, our presidents, many, many more people who are in authority over us. God has put them in office. And you and me, we are called to honor them. Yes, we work to bring good change, but we are to respect and honor those who are in authority over us. So I ask you, do you honor those who are in authority over you? Do you submit to those in authority over you? Or do you try to buck their authority? Do you disrespect them? Do you try to find loopholes to get out of what they're telling you to do? Submit in the Lord to the authorities that are over you. So, children, submit to your parents. Workers, submit to your bosses. Citizens, submit to those governing authorities over you. Fourth, we are to submit to our spiritual leaders. In a number of places, the elders are called overseers and shepherds. And in 1 Peter 5, it says that the shepherds are in charge of the flock, and the sheep are to submit to them. And in that same chapter, it says that we are to respect those who are over us in the Lord. I'll be the first to tell you that we as elders are not perfect. You might not know that, but we aren't. We make lots of mistakes. We may do things that make you upset. We may do things that may not make sense to you. And we're not saying that we're always right in our decisions. But what we ask of you is to follow us. No, don't just let things slide. Bring things up to us. Confront us in things that should change. But please, submit to us. We're trying our best to serve you, to serve the Lord as overseers, and we are held accountable for your souls. So please seek to support and help and submit and honor us. Submit to those who are in authority over you in the church. And the last human structure of authority that I'll mention, and the most controversial, is wives, submit to your husbands. The verse actually says, wives, submit in everything to your husbands. Submit in everything to your husbands. Wives, God knows better than you how imperfect your husbands are, and yet He gives you this command. Submit to them. Despite their imperfections, their sins, their injustices, their inconsistencies, you're still called to submit to them in everything. This command doesn't mean that wives are second-class citizens. Women, you are equal with men in power and glory. You are fellow heirs of Christ with us. You are created in the image of God, just as men are. You are created with dignity and value. But within marriage, God has determined that wives are to submit to the authority of their husbands, just as they would to the Lord. And the model that God gives us, that we are to strive after, is the model of the relationship between Christ and His church. Christ and His church. The church is to follow Christ no matter the circumstances, no matter what Christ tells us to do, no matter the difficulty. If Christ tells us to do something, we do it. Paul's saying here that just as the church submits to Christ, wives are to submit to their husbands. Wives, how are you doing in this? Is your marriage a power struggle? Are you stubborn in your behavior with your husbands? Are you stubborn in your behavior to Christ? In your dignity as an image bearer, you are to serve in this role. So how can you submit to your husbands in a godly way? We are called to submit within these structures of authority. How can we submit to those in authority over us? Now, before I close, I have to say something to those who are in authority. Parents, husbands, bosses, elders, politicians, policemen, teachers. God has placed you in this position of authority. And if you're not scared right now, then you don't understand your job. If you're not scared of this responsibility, then you don't understand your role. As one in authority, it's your responsibility to oversee those who are under your authority, to seek their good and their well-being. This is not a power trip for you. Because you're in authority doesn't mean that you just get to do whatever you want. You get your way all the time. But it means that you lay down your life for those who are under your authority. Think again of this relationship of Christ and the church. Christ has authority over the entire church, over this universe. Every knee will bow to him. He has full authority, but yet he came to serve. His purpose here on earth was to lay down his life and die in order to bring you to God. The purpose of his life was to seek your good, to be obedient to his Father, but to seek your good. He didn't abuse his authority, but he used this authority to serve. If you are in a position of authority, then this is your purpose. Your purpose is to serve, to give up your life, to give up your desires in order to lead and to serve those who are under authority. To see that they blossom under your authority. And if they are withering under your authority, then something is going wrong. Are you abusing your authority? Are you lording it over them? Are you getting your way all the time? You are called to love them as Christ has loved the church. To give yourself up for them. And if you do abuse your authority, be sure that God will stand against you. And you will be judged more severely because those in authority will be judged more severely than those who are under authority. Lead your people with love as unselfishly as Christ has loved you. All the fighting, all the wars, all the quarrels that have happened here on earth and in your life are a direct result of leaders not leading like Christ and followers not submitting as if to Christ. And there's no question that authority is regularly abused. And as a result, there's this growing attempt to get rid of authority structures. But that is not the answer to our problem. The answer that you and I must strive for is to lead more like Christ and submit more like the church. To lead more like Christ and submit more like the church. And as we do this, we will get to see the peace and unity and order that God intends for family life, for your marriage, for your workplace, for the church, for the society. For some of you, this may seem like an impossible task or even an unjust command. And there may be a power struggle in your family, and maybe you are the one being abused. And you may be wondering, how in the world can you do this? Well, I want to tell you and remind the rest of you that you're not able to do this unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a futile attempt if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you know what Jesus Christ came to do, how he came to lead. That as God himself, enjoying the glories of heaven, the pleasures of heaven, became a man and lived and died for people like you and me. Our King, our leader, gave up his life and then rose from the dead to save us, to bring us to God. And he is the only one who can bring you to God. And only if you follow him and trust in the forgiveness in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Only when you are adopted into the family of God will you be able to be a God-honoring leader. The way Christ is led. And only then will you be a God-honoring follower. The way Christ is to follow. So whether you are in authority or you are under authority, fix your eyes on Christ. Submit to those in authority. And God will be glorified. Let's pray. Father, this is a hard command for us. A hard command. We have trouble submitting to those in authority over us. But we recognize that this is your word. And not only have you told us what to do, but you have shown us what good leadership and what good submission is. As Christ has come to lead us by serving us, so Christ also came to submit and to serve you, the Father. we want to reflect that kind of character into this world. Help us to be good leaders. And help us to be good followers who submit to those who are over us, who have authority over us. Do this for your name's sake, and let your name be glorified as a result. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.